Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Please bless the message we will hear this morning, and thank you for having brought us lucky in this congregation we have today, that we might learn and edify one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Chapter 5. We're going to be continuing our series on the Pentecostal agenda. We're going to talk about emotionalism here today, and we probably will have one more sermon on the health and wealth prosperity gospel, not today, but in another week, probably in a few weeks. But we're going to talk about emotionalism with a Pentecostal agenda, and the Pentecostal religion is very famous and known for being very emotional, very energetic, and everything like that. And so we're going to talk about why exactly they're like that, why it's so dangerous, and how it's actually crept into Baptist churches. And Baptist churches are patterning themselves after these Pentecostal churches, okay? Now, when it comes to emotionalism in churches, just like any church, you know, the Pentecostal church has basically sections of their service. They start with their music. They start then with their, they have their preaching. Then they have their altar call. And these things tie together. Now, we at this church, you know, we do something similar. We have the music, we have the preaching, and, well, we don't have the altar call.
Yeah.
But we do have the other things. And so these things are building off each other. Okay? And so we're going to see this in various stages. And with the Pentecostal agenda, it starts with their music. Okay? Notice Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19. The Bible reads in verses 18 and 19, "And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And so the Bible says that we are to be filled with the Spirit, not to be drunk with wine. Now, obviously, when the Pentecostals think of being filled with the Spirit, they mean something a little bit different than we mean, okay? If they ask you, "Hey, brother, are you filled with the Spirit?" I'm going to say, "Well, you know, no." It's like the Calvinist asks me, "Do you believe in a sovereign God?" I'm going to say, "No," because I know what they mean by that, okay? But then in verse 19, it tells us that we're supposed to sing with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, okay? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So God makes it very clear the sort of music that we need to have. It starts with Psalms, okay? Now, this is actually in our Bible. The dead middle of our Bible, the book of Psalms, is a song book.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's 150 Psalms, and those are songs to be sung in church. Now, we've sung Psalms 1 in church before, and we want to start integrating more Psalms, and we will as we come. Unfortunately, over time, Scripture songs have kind of died. They're not very common in churches. And we're trying to bring those back as our other like-minded churches. Then it says hymns, and when it comes to hymns, it's referring to songs very similar to the songs we sing each week. These are hymns, okay? Now, this hymn book that we have, this is not perfect. It wasn't written by God, and there are some songs that we choose not to sing here because we don't agree with them, but by and large, this is a very good book. There are very good songs in here. There's also a lot of good songs, though, that aren't in this book that we could add, okay? So the Bible says psalms and it says hymns. Those are the first two things mentioned. Now, then it says spiritual songs. Now, spiritual songs are going to be pretty similar to psalms and hymns, okay? Now, the Pentecostal church, what they sing in church is Christian rock music.
Yeah.
We don't do that yet. Mm-hmm. You notice our music is completely different than mainstream music.
Yep.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We have reasons why. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But I want you to understand, we're not against new songs. It doesn't have to be an old song. You know, we at this church, we've actually had members of our church who've actually written some songs. And we've actually sung them, Victory in Jesus 2.0.
Amen.
We had some men in our church collaborating on that song. Hey, it's a great song.
Right.
Why? Because it teaches the doctrine we believe in, and, you know, it's a good song. And there's nothing wrong with new songs, okay? But there is a problem with the songs that they sing in a Pentecostal church. They sing Christian rock music.
Right.
That is not a song, and it's not a hymn.
Yep.
And they can say it's spiritual music because they say the lyrics are edifying, but that's nothing like the songs in the Bible.
Yep.
Now turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, I'll show you why this is. Now remember this about the Pentecostal church, which we talked about. Their church does not care about doctrine at all.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you believe about the King James Bible. It doesn't matter what you believe about the end times. It doesn't matter what you believe about anything. About salvation, it doesn't matter. All that matters is, do you want to get filled with the Spirit? See, their songs are meant to be very emotional. They're meant to cause a reaction to get you ready for their preaching, which is also very emotional. There's a reason why their music is a set type of music, because it's setting the scene for what's next.
Right.
Now, look, I don't go to the movies, but if you go to a movie theater, especially if you went a long time ago, they would have classical music playing to prepare you for the movie. And they have those commercials with popcorn and stuff like that. They have a strategy of what they're trying to do. The Pentecostal church is doing the same thing. These stages are building together to get to the climax of the altar call, which we'll talk about. Okay? But the music is meant to set the scene for the sermon. And so the music is going to fit with the type of preaching that's done. Now, in this book, these songs teach a lot of doctrine.
Yeah.
They teach what we believe. You say, why? Well, Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So the Bible says that the songs we sing are supposed to teach us and admonish us, okay? Which means they actually should be teaching you something. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. There was a mainstream song, and maybe it's still around today, that's called Our God is an Awesome God.
Oh,
who knows that song? Our God is an awesome God. And the whole song, say, what are the lyrics to the song? Those are the lyrics.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven and earth, blah, blah, blah. And then it says, our God is an awesome God. And it just goes over and over again saying, our God is an awesome God. That doesn't teach us anything.
Yeah.
Because, see, the Muslims would hear that song and they'd say, yeah, our God is an awesome God. The Buddhists would hear that song and say, yeah, our God is an awesome God. The Hindus would hear that song and say, yeah, our God is an awesome God. The problem is it doesn't teach what your doctrine is.
Yeah.
See, this book, when you say I'm Christ the solid rock, what you're saying is he is the only way to get to heaven. He is the Lord. He is the Christ. He is the way to get to heaven. It's actually teaching you what you believe.
Yeah.
Now, this ties in with the preaching because of the fact in the Pentecostal churches, they're not really teaching you what they believe. Doctrine is not that important. It's all about this emotional service.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to what we teach, our last sermon we just preached this morning, I made it very clear what we believe. Because doctrine is very important. And see, the hymns and the songs we sing should be a reflection of what we believe.
Yep.
See, the world, what they sing songs of these rock stars. They sing about drinking and doing drugs and fornicating. Hey, that's a reflection of the lifestyle they live. They're singing and they're teaching about what sort of lifestyle they live.
Yep.
The songs we sing, they need to be teaching us what we believe and what we're about. Okay. So when somebody comes in here and visits the church, they're going to realize, okay, this is what the church believes. This is what this church is about. You have to understand the power of music.
Mm-hmm.
Kids at a very young age, when they hear songs over and over again, it's going to start to sink into them.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to get saved simply from hearing a song, but it will start to teach them what they believe. Look, if you go to this church and you hear Victory in Jesus 2.0 every month, it's going to be pretty obvious to you, wow, they don't believe you have to repent of sins to be saved. They wrote a whole song against that. It's pretty obvious what they do and don't believe.
Yeah, amen. Okay?
And see, when you go to a church, you ought to know what they believe, even from the music itself.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, this book is not perfect, and there are some doctrines I don't think this book really covers, and it would be great to have songs like that so we could sing. I mean, this book does give us what we believe. We don't sing the songs about the preacher and rapture because we don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are songs in this hymn like that. We don't sing those because we don't believe that. Okay? We believe in a post-trib rapture. And so what you sing should reflect what you believe. Let me give you an example of a song that was a very mainstream song back when I first got saved. It's called They Don't Serve Breakfast in Hell. Okay? This song was by the Newsboys. Anybody know who the Newsboys is? This might be before most people's time. They're a very, very famous band back in the day. Okay? This is what the song says. Tell me if this tells you what your doctrine is. When the toast has burned and all the milk has turned and Captain Crunch is waving farewell. Does that teach you what they believe? Captain Crunch is waving farewell. When the big one finds you, referring to God. That's a nice title we gave God, when the big one finds you. When the big one finds you, may this song remind you that they don't serve breakfast in hell. You know, and it sounds cute. It's this cute little Christian rock song. It rolls off the tongue. Yeah, Captain Crunch is waving farewell. What a garbage song.
Amen.
Right. to me, that's just almost like mocking the things of God. It's like Captain Crunch. Why is that in a song? You're calling it a Christian rock song. Is that like the Psalms in the Bible?
No.
I mean, once a month, we go through the book of Psalms, the last Wednesday of every month. And for you that have been there for those sermons, look, it's a very, it's a doctrinal book.
Yeah.
It teaches what you believe. The hymns we sing, they're doctrinal songs.
Yeah, right.
Now, yes, we like it if it musically flows well. But look, there's a proper sorts of words that you need in the song.
Yeah.
And this is not it. Captain Crunch is waiting for all. This was a common song. When I first got saved, this was one of the big Christian rock songs. I heard people singing it, and they thought it was the greatest thing. I'm thinking, yeah, I gotta change the music in my life. I'm not switching to that. When the big one finds you, that's not very... The Bible says, you know, we should have reverence for God.
Right, yeah.
Don't call God the big one.
Yep.
There are a lot of names given to God in this Bible.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. Almighty God, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't call him the big one. That's being disrespectful to God. It's not being reverent. Imagine calling your father, you know, the big one. I mean, go ahead. You want to see what happens if my son grows up and he starts calling me the big one? Look, you know, I'm pretty mad about that. You're supposed to be respectful to your parents.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It's not really respectful to God the Father when you call him the big one.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Now turn to Psalms 149. Psalms 149. Say, why is the music of Pentecostal churches emotional? Because of the fact they're trying to reach people that don't go to their church. And their music has a strategy of reaching people that listen to rock music and reaching people that listen to the mainstream music. And their goal is to get those people to start coming to church. Okay? It works. The Pentecostal religion is growing very rapidly. It works. They get people to come to church. But look, our goal is not to build this massive church.
Right.
Our goal is to fill this church full of people that love the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
And look, when I first got saved, let me tell you something. I listened to rock music. I didn't listen to godly music. But I'll tell you what, I did in my heart want to make changes to live for the Lord.
You
know? Now, look, you don't climb a mountain in one day. You climb a mountain slowly.
Right. Yeah.
And so you don't jump from the bottom to the top of the mountain just like that.
Yep.
But, you know, there's certain people that when they hear the preaching of the Word of God, they want to make changes, and there's certain people that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in this room, all of us need to make changes.
Yep. Right.
Including myself, including my wife,
right.
Definitely my son. But look, everyone needs to make changes, but there's certain people that are willing to just see what the Bible says and say, you know what, I'm going to try to make that change. And it could take time. Like I said about communion, you don't have to be perfect to take communion next week, but there are certain sins you better not be partaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, if you listen to rock music on Saturday night the day before we have communion, you're welcome to do that. I don't think it's right. I don't think you should do that. But that doesn't restrict you from taking communion because of the fact you still listen to unsaved music. Okay? But you should be trying to make changes in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Psalms 149, verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise in the congregation of saints. The Bible says to sing unto the Lord a new song. Okay? Now, when I first got saved, I listened to rock music. And you know, I was in all these Christian groups in college with, it's filled with pretty much people of every belief. But then all these people listened to Christian rock music. And at the time, I was kind of naive to this topic. And I thought that I was listening to really ungodly music, and I was just thinking, man, which I was. But I was like, man, I need to start listening to what they're listening to. I need to get right with God. And I went to, there was a Christian rock concert on campus at West Virginia University. So I went to the concert just not knowing what the sort of music was, not knowing anything. And I expected, you know, people would be dressed really professionally and everything. And these guys had like this really long hair, which the Bible says men are supposed to have short hair.
Yeah.
And these men had really long hair. And then they're playing the music and they're banging their heads like this, like it's a heavy metal concert. And I'm like, whoa, that's the music I listen to. And you say, well, what about the words of the music? I couldn't understand any of the words.
Right.
Do you understand the words of rock music usually?
No.
No. I mean, it's just loud. It's not very melodious. You don't understand. You say, why? Because as the Bible says in Exodus 32, as Joshua said, it's the noise of war.
Right.
You say,
right.
What music does the noise of war fit with more than any music? Rock music.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's genres of rock music, there's heavy metal, but Joshua was away from that camp where they were fornicating, getting drunk, and listening to ungodly music, And Joshua's like, it sounds like the noise of war in the camp. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. It's the noise of those that sing do I hear. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. He heard certain music and he says, it sounds like the noise of war. Now, is the music we sing sound like the noise of war?
No.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. That sounds like the noise of war. No, he's talking about rock music or similar types of music.
Yep.
And see, mainstream music is like the noise of war.
Right.
It's ungodly music. But a problem is that in Psalms 149 it says a new song. See, the music we sing in church should be different than the music you listen to when you were unsaved or before you were right with God.
Right.
Yeah. See, I listen to Aerosmith. I listen to Guns N' Roses. I listen to very ungodly music. But see, when you go to church, you're supposed to sing a new song.
Yeah.
See, the songs we sing are very different than Aerosmith.
Right.
The songs we sing are a lot different than Guns N' Roses. They sound different and the words are different. Christian rock.